fiction friends are back, and this week we are giving our brains a bit of a rest. So brace yourselves for a little less of an educationally intense episode. Today we are navigating the treacherous waters of teenage angst and talking about our favorite young adult fiction novels.
Yes. So excited.
Yeah, I think you can actually find some really good stuff in the teen fiction section.
This is where I primarily most of my reading takes place.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty accurate for most of the staff here. But you'll find things like The Hunger Games, Twilight, Divergent, Percy Jackson. That all comes from the teen fiction section. So
yeah, all your favorites.
It's a thing. Liking young adult novels is a thing.
Yeah, and then becoming popular movies, I guess.
Yeah. Because they're good stories. I think that young adult novels are a good way to read a dynamic and interesting story that's a little less intense and certainly not usually as long as a regular adult fiction book. Do you agree?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, granted that like there's more drama. And...
Yes. With teenagers.
Yeah. That's but I mean, natural. That comes with being a teenager.
Yeah, that's true. So what's your book?
My book is Divergent by Veronica Roth. Divergent is one of my favorite young adult novels. Veronica Roth, if you don't know her, her short stories and essays have appeared in anthologies Summer Days and Summer Nights, Shards and Ashes, and Three Sides of a Heart. The Divergent series was developed into three major motion pictures. I'm sure you've heard of them.
Yeah.
Oh, well, get educated. Anyway, Veronica Roth grew up outside of Chicago and graduated from Northwestern University, and she now lives in Chicago proper with her husband and dog and writes full time.
Nice. Living the dream.
Yeah. So I chose Divergent for a couple of reasons, mainly being it's because I read a lot of dystopian, like, series. You know, like Hunger Games. And I think this is my favorite version of like any sort of dystopian society. Mainly because it has elements of things that like get me hooked. Mm-hmm. Like there are, I guess, because society in Divergent is divided up into like virtues. And there are like five of them. Which I'll get into in a little bit, and like they're like houses like Harry Potter, which is like 100% my thing. I will read the little summary here about Divergent for those of you who may not have either read the book or might be interested. In Beatrice Pryor's dystopian Chicago world, society is divided into five factions, each dedicated to the cultivation of a particular virtue. Candor, the honest, abnegation, the selfless, dauntless, the brave, amity, the peaceful, and erudite, the intelligent. On an appointed day of every year, all 16-year-olds must select the faction to which they will devote themselves to the rest of their lives. For Beatrice, the decision is between staying with her family and being who she really is. She can't have both. So she makes a choice that surprises everyone, including herself. So during the highly competitive initiation that follows, Beatrice renames herself Triss and struggles alongside her fellow initiates to live out the choice they have made. Together, they must undergo extreme physical tests of endurance and intense psychological simulations, some with devastating consequences.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. As initiation transforms them all, Triss must determine who her friends really are, and where exactly a romance with sometimes fascinating, sometimes exasperating boy fits into the life that she's chosen.
I'm very teen.
I know. But I love every second of it. But Triss also has a secret, one Ooh. She's kept hidden from everyone because she's warned it can mean death. And as she discovers unrest, growing conflict, and threaten to unravel her seemingly perfect society, she also learns that her secret might help her save those she loves. Or it might destroy her.
Ooh, dum, dum, dum.
So, back to those factions.
Yeah.
Is there one that you would?
Well, I was thinking about it when you listed them off. I was like, okay, so the intelligent is Ravenclaw.
Yeah.
The peaceful, I guess, would be Hufflepuff. Dauntless would be Gryffindor. And that's what I am, a Gryffindor, so I guess I'd be Dauntless. Then Ravenclaw doesn't really have one, does it? Because you've got honest and selfless.
Yeah, honest and selfless. So
like a couple of them share the Hufflepuff traits.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the obvious Gryffindor one, and then Ravenclaw.
Yeah. So it's weird because like the way that the book presents intelligence, it's more like not just like book smarts, but cunning.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like a combination of Slytherin and Ravenclaw.
Yeah, because I've only ever seen the movie, and the ones in the intelligent house seem the most jerky.
Yeah. Nothing against Slytherins, of course.
No, sure.
But actually, when I took the quiz, there's actually a quiz at the back end of the book.
Oh.
I ended up Dauntless.
That's really cool. So the quiz to figure out which one you're in is in the book itself?
Yeah.
That is cool.
I
wish J.K. Rowling had done that back in the day.
Before, like, Pottermore.
Back in the 90s when she wrote it. Yeah. So which one are you?
Dauntless.
Dauntless.
Yeah, and their symbol is like a fire.
That's it's weird, because really cool. You're a Ravenclaw.
I know.
You're like upsetting the balance.
I am. But I'm not sure.
Which one do you think that I would be in? Because you know more about it than I do. Careful.
Well, you asked. I'm probably candor.
Candor. Cool. The honest?
Yeah. They're honest to a fault.
Okay, I was going to say, is that because I'm brutally honest? Fair. That's fair.
Yeah, but I really love this book. I think it ends a lot more realistically than most dystopian series do, like The Hunger Games. I know a lot of people that weren't happy with that ending. But I think it's a very realistic look at a futuristic society that would be ruled by these kind of ideals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a fun adventure that doesn't focus a lot too much like on romance like a lot of like teen books would, but like it's there, but like it's there as like a side dish. It's like here's your main course, but this is also here if you want it.
That's your sweet dessert.
It's not distracting. I should say.
So when you say that it ends well, do you mean the first book or the whole series?
The series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the series goes Divergent and then Insurgent and then Allegiant.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that there is a prequel called Four, which is the name of one of the characters in the series,
right?
Which is a retelling of Divergent but from his perspective. Which I don't I will say
we have problems with those.
I will say I don't like it when authors do prequels or like a retelling of from someone else's perspective, because to me it kind of seems like, well, we kind of know their story just because we don't know their perspective though. It's like, it seems like a money grabbing thing.
The whole book seems a bit much. Like, I can understand like a short story, but to tell the whole book over again is like, why would
like a retelling of like important scenes?
Yeah,
I think would be nice to see like what there was going on in their head. Yeah. But like, I don't think.
I will say that I have read a book where they do that. They do different perspectives while you're reading the book, and I didn't really care for that either. Because it was, like, repetitive, confusing.
Of, like, the same situation, but,
So, like, you would read a chapter from this person's perspective, and then you'd go back. The next chapter is the same exact storyline, but from another person's perspective.
Oh, I couldn't do that.
And then the next one is
It would feel like you're not getting anywhere.
Yeah, it felt like I was treading on water or something. It was like, okay, I understand. I want to get to the point. But it's interesting. Some people might care for that.
And Veronica Roth also has two new books out, Carve the Mark and The Fates Divide, that I'll probably be checking out soon.
Unrelated?
Unrelated to the Divergent series, but it's a new series that she started.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
So, the age-old question, how does the book compare to the movie?
I think, okay, now I don't think I've seen all the movies.
What? Actually. This is your favorite book and you haven't seen all of the movies?
Yeah, well, I mean, I saw Divergent, and I was like, yeah, that's good. I'd see the second one, and then I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I've only seen the movies. The second one, to me, was the weakest.
Oh, man. Oh, wait, or did I see it? I don't remember. That shows you how memorable. I mean, I think they did, like, a well enough adaptation. It wasn't, like, a poor adaptation like some books and movies.
Aragorn.
I will not get into this now. That we'll be here for like 15
It's a young
minutes.
Adult novel, you know, it's fair. Okay, well, that's good to know, because, you know, I mean, the book is never going to be exactly like the movie, vice versa. So,
because, I mean, it...
It'd be boring.
It's always up to people's interpretation, how they interpret the book, and then it'll always be different on screen.
Yeah, I agree.
What book did you bring?
I brought An Ember in the Ashes by Sabaa Tahir.
Never heard of it.
Right. But it has a lot in common with yours, where, you know, it's a different world where it's broken up into societies, but there's only a couple in this one, because there's like the ruling military society and everyone else that gets crushed underneath their feet.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So I'll start with the description of the book so we can go off on there. So, set in a terrifyingly brutal Rome-like world, An Ember in the Ashes is an epic fantasy debut about an orphan fighting for her family and a soldier fighting for his freedom. It's a story that's literally burning to be told.
Ooh.
Leia is a scholar living under the iron-fisted rule of the Martial Empire. When her brother is arrested for treason, Leia goes undercover as a slave at the Empire's greatest military academy in exchange for assistance from the rebel scholars, who claim they will help to save her brother from execution. Elias is the Academy's finest soldier, and secretly its most unwilling. Elias is considering deserting the military, but before he can, he's ordered to participate in a ruthless contest to choose the next Martial Emperor. When Leia and Elias's paths cross at the Academy, they find that their destinies are more entwined than either could have imagined, and that their choices will change the future of the Empire itself.
Interesting.
So it's not really that romantic, actually. I mean, even though it's a boy and a girl and you're automatically just like anticipating them to get together.
Oh, they're going to fall in love.
Yeah, it's actually much more complicated than that. Like, you've got the action because he's a soldier. And the villains are very scary.
Interesting.
Like, there's this lady who rules the Martial Empire and she's very intimidating. And there's a little bit of violence in there. I would be really interested to see a movie adaptation, and actually some coworkers of mine and I have like cast this movie in our heads.
Oh, interesting.
Because there's a lot of things in it that I'd like to see visually, because in my head it sounds really interesting. Because these soldiers, picture like, I think it's 300, where the soldiers have like metal masks.
Yeah.
But they're like thin metal and they're like molded to their faces.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, and they can like take it off, but they're not supposed to, and the longer you wear it, the more it molds to your face, so you actually can't physically take it off.
Ooh,
at a certain point, man. Yeah. So Elias, when he's like struggling with wanting to be here, keeps taking his mask off, so he gets like made fun of that his mask isn't fully formed to his face. So I'd really like to see what that looks like on screen. But it's a trilogy. It starts with Ember in the Ashes, which came out in 2015, which is this one. The next one is A Torch Against the Night, which is super good, but a whole different, like, it's still the same storyline, obviously, but it's, like, totally different. It's really awesome. And the third one just came out last month. It's called A Reaper at the Gates, and I haven't read it yet.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm waiting for it. I have it on hold. I'm really excited.
You didn't know it came out?
I forgot.
It snuck up on
me. That it was coming out this summer. And then I saw it as I was grabbing holds to send off to their patrons. And I was like, oh, no! So now I have to wait for it. But a little bit about the author. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, because I really like her. Sabaa Tahir grew up in California's Mojave Desert at her family's 18-room motel.
Oh my, what?
Right? Isn't that cool? There, she spent her time devouring fantasy novels, raiding her brother's comic book stash, and playing guitar badly. She began writing An Ember in the Ashes while working nights as a newspaper editor. She likes thunderous indie rock, garish socks, and all things nerd. And she currently lives in San Francisco Bay Area with her family. Mm. She sounds awesome.
Yeah, sounds like an amazing person.
Yeah, so I really like this. I think it hits all the marks. And I got fully invested in this series. I couldn't wait for it. And I can't wait for it to come back so I can keep reading it.
I wish I could keep reading more Divergent.
Right? Isn't that like, it's both a really amazing feeling and also a really terrible feeling when you like get so involved in a series and you're like, yes, the next one, yes, the next one. And then it's over and you're like, oh no.
Yeah. And I'm not usually one to reread books either. So.
Neither am I, actually. Even though Harry Potter is like my life, I've only read them once. I've listened to the audiobooks and I've watched the movies multiple times, but as for
Watched the movies countless times.
Yeah. I feel like you once you've read it for the first time, you can never really go back and enjoy it like you did.
Yeah, because like, you know.
Yeah. Especially with like the major ones, like Goblet of Fire. I was like,
yeah.
And so now I like know what's coming. I'm like, no, I'm just going to skip that chapter. Yeah.
You can't undo it. You can't make it unhappen.
You can't go back to the first time that you saw something. And I'm always really jealous when people do. Like when we were telling people about our comic book series that we love and we were like watching our coworkers read them, I was like, yeah, oh, I want to see you read it. I want to live through your first experience. So that's how I feel about this book, because a coworker of mine recommended it to me. And then we read the second one in the series like at the same time, so mm-hmm. we could talk about it as we were experiencing it. And now I'm like, you should read this book. Which, Josh, you should read this book.
Oh, okay.
Here, let's just swap right now.
Okay.
Get it started.
Yeah. Because you haven't read the book, Divergent.
Nope.
Right, okay.
No, and I've never read The Hunger Games either. Shocking. There's a lot of the series, especially in the teen section, that are like super popular and I'm very well aware of. But I haven't read them.
Yeah. Okay. So we have some events coming up. A big one. I think some of our listeners might be interested in if they listen to this podcast. Yeah. And they might want to start their own. Savilla Morgan, who we've had here before, mm-hmm. Is coming back to teach us how to podcast.
Woo-woo.
Yeah. So on Saturday, August 11th at 3:30 at the Hart Memorial Library, mm-hmm. Savilla Morgan will be returning to tell us more about podcasting, including gear and technique. If you're interested in creating your own podcast or getting the word out globally on a subject you are passionate about, definitely come to this event. You can find out how to get started, how much it all costs, how to keep your listeners interested. And she's an awesome person.
Yeah,
we've met her.
Yep. You can find a picture of us with her on our Instagram. Osceola Library Instagram.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And I hope to see you guys there.
Yeah. And you can get a picture with us.
Oh, yeah. We'll be there.
No autographs, though.
I'll do autographs. Fine.
Okay, well, it's time for my my closer. I have a closing thought.
Oh, I'm just going to leave.
Today I have a closing thought, all right? Since we're talking about young adult fiction, I feel like The Hunger Games would be a lot different if Katniss Everdeen could turn invisible, because then she'd be Katniss never seen.
See, I should have left. Gosh.